Today's daf is Daf Chaf Gimel, and we're continuing learning about Ribbit. So the case is as follows. Yisro Hashi Mena Goy Aputropa, or center. In this situation, a Goy has, sorry, Jew has property, and he appoints a Goy to be the full, let's call it the administrator of the entire, all these assets. Okay? But he's in full control. It's important to understand this, that in that situation, what the Mishnah says, it says, Mutar, you can, lil vot mimenu, you can borrow from this goy beribit. You might think, isn't it Israel's money? So I'll just explain here. The Marfulda says, Al shelo, mutar lelavota, kol achrut shel akum, because shel akumu. Since he's been in the full responsibility for it, meaning increases and decreases in value, and then anything happens, he's chayba on. And as if it's like the akums in that situation, therefore it's okay. That's what the Mishnah is saying. So you have to, it's not just, oh, he's in charge of it, he's my administrator. No, there's much more, there's high levels of responsibility placed on him that makes it considered like his property, such that he can now borrow from interest. So if it's the other way around, however, if it was, for example, v'goish mina Yisrael potropel center asul lelavot mimena beribit. If even if it's a goy's property in Israel, is the financial controller on all the assets, not just that, he's responsible for it as well, then it's like Israel's property won't be able to borrow from this person in Ribbit. Let's continue. Ma'od goy shel mufkadim etzel Israel. So you've got the money of a goy that's been entrusted by an Israel. Again, the assumption is that he's in full responsibility for it. Anything happens to it, it has to replace the full value. Then it's like the money of Israel. So be asur lelavo beribbit. However, it's Moisrael, Jews' money that's in, we can say like in a bank, for example. Shel mufkadim biyad goy. Mutar lavot mimena ribit. You're allowed to borrow from that bank, from that non-Jew, beribit. So zeh klal kol shu chay ba'achriyot Israel. Anytime the Israel is responsible for it, then it's like the Israel's money, so it's asur. And ba'achriyot goy, if it's in care of the goy, then it's mutar. Okay. I mean, not just in the care, but achriyot, the responsibility. So now let's learn the Mishnah next. This is the halacha vav. And we're going back to the cases of Iska. We have these arrangements, saying, I'm going to buy it from you here and you're going to give it to me, but you're going to return, like, I'm a supplier. I'm paying you now, and over the year or by the end of the year, you're going to supply me this product. But this product's going to go up in value. So we said that ein poskin al haper, you cannot do that, ad she'yatzah ha'shar. So we explained before that there's only two ways this can work. One is that he has that property already, meaning the product, and he has a product in his possession, then obviously it's like you're buying it from him, it's just giving it you back, give it to the end of the year. The other case is if yatzah ha'shar, if the... We said the market price has already come out. So explain, we're going to get to the Gemara now. Hayahu tchilat lekotzrim. Let's say it was the beginning of the harvest. Poskimi mo ala gadish. You can even poskim, if you like, on a stack. But avat shel anavim. Let's say it was also a vat of grapes in which the grapes softened before making wine. So you can see here, you're posek on wine, even though it's very, very early stages of wine production. In other words, he has the product in possession. That's justification number two. Either it's a shar or he has it. Now, he doesn't have to have the finished product we're learning here. He just has to have the raw materials to make that finished product. That would still be okay. So let me just explain it to you here. Ukon Marfold. He says, posekimo. It says, so by the way, tchilat the kotrim means already has a stack. And the atzar has, and the shar hasn't come out. That's what the Marfold is saying. So it's based on the fact that he has in possession. It says, be'ezu shar shi yitzel etenol me'otar gish. They can work out some sort of price and they can work it out that way. The kevan to Yeshlo, because he has it already, even though it's in the early stages, there's no problem of ribbit. Because again, if he didn't have it, or the lo yatzah hashar, the problem is if you basically have this arrangement, you're going to supply me wheat, and you pay him a certain amount of volume. So you pay for a volume now, and the price of wheat goes up, is basically borrowed money, and then the year is returning something to you of greater value. That would be a problem of ribbit. Again, the justification is only if he can actually get it now. And it's like yours. So we're saying here now, yesh or ein kan ribit, because he already has the product now, it's in a ribit. Because the product is already in his possession, it's as if it already belongs to the person who purchasing it for him. So even if it goes up in value, it's as if the product of the purchase has gone up in value. It's not an issue of ribit. It's just returning his product at a later date. Okay? Even though he didn't do Mashiach yet. Now you might think, oh, one second, Kinyan if Israel has to be only by way of Mashiach. So how does this work? No, Kivan dechi'ein lo nami avak ribit rabbanan. Is this really ribit? No. This whole issue of getting more value by way of this business arrangement is really what's called avak ribbit, ribbit de rabbanan. Okay, classic ribbit, I'm giving you money, you're giving me more money back. I'm giving you a product, you're giving more product back. In this situation, it's the only reason why you're getting more value back is because the wheat that you paid for has gone up in value. That was ribbit midrabanan. So since this is what's called a back ribbit, if he already has the product in his possession, we make it as if it's already, basically Chacham said it's okay. We make it as if it really belongs to him. Okay? So in other words, since we're dealing, just to make it clear, since we're dealing with avak ribbit, which is ribbit midrabanan, provided that the person has a product, even in its early stages, we say there's no problem of ribbit or avak ribbit in this constant situation. We consider as if it already belongs to him, even though he didn't do a proper kinyan and mashiach, it's still fine. Okay, so we met avat shalanabin, we also met tam shel zeitim. Also, if it's like you arrangements to get oil, at this stage, all he has is grapes that are sort of softening. Al bitzim shel yotzer, these are balls of clay that used to use to produce jugs and things like that. Valasid mishyashka. Also, this is seed is like a lime, if you like, posekimo. And to make, it says, mishyashkenu bikivshan ha'avanim va'etzim. In other words, it's early stage of when it's being prepared. So, private's got that, then it's okay. Next case, posekimu ala zevel kol yomot ha'shana. What about if it was an arrangement to supply zevel, which is manure? In that situation, manure is around all year round, so that should be fine according to Chachamim. Rabbi Yossi says, no, ain't posekimu more machmir. The person has to have zevel in his possession to have that sort of supply arrangement. Ala zevel ashiu lo zevel ba'ashpatot. And Chachamim matirim. So, what's the difference between Chachamim and the Tanakama? Well, the Pnei Moshe fills in the gaps for us. He says, I think it's based on Bavli. He says, Chachamim matirim davke be'avot hachama. The Chachamim allow this posek al zevel, if you like, pay you money that you're supplying the zevel only in the summer months. Because in that situation, everyone's got zevel around and he could just get it from wherever he liked. That's like posek atashar type of thing. Shakol yesh lo zevel. Shekvar nirka v'nishuf be'avot, because over the winter months it's already decayed and it's already good quality, if you like, zevel. It's not really ready yet. That's why he says no. So that's the three different pieces when it comes to zevel. Okay, let's continue. Posek imo al shar kishar hagvoa. Now, gvoa you might think means expensive. It's actually opposite. Gvoa means high, but it doesn't mean expensive. What it means is I can get a greater volume, so it's a cheaper price. Okay, that's what it means. I'll just show you to make it clear. Marfulda says im yifchot hashar imashu hu achshav. Or what you can do is you can make an arrangement with him. So the whole point of making this arrangement with the individual, you're paying a particular sum of money, and the assumption now, under the assumption it's going to go up in value. That's why you're prepaying. You want to get in early, okay? And again, based provided that either the Yatzah Hashar he has it, you can do that. What it's saying now is that if you can have a part of the arrangement that if it goes down in value, then you'll give him the cheaper price. I'm not losing out in this arrangement. Hashar gvoha hainu bezolshinil perot harbeh, because gvoha, because I'm giving a higher pile for the same amount of money, that's why it's, if you like, a smaller amount. That's not a problem. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda says, afal pishe lo pasakimu, even if he didn't put that stipulation, imo, yachol lomar lo ten li kazeh or ten li et ma'otai. He can say, he can break out of the arrangement. One second, I can buy arrangement, you pay. So I'll show you here very interestingly. Marfulu explains, shrei lo mashach. When the person made this arrangement with the supplier, says, I'm paying you money that you'll give me this volume at the by the end in 6 months' time, whatever it is, over a course of period of time. And end of the day, what it's saying is, no mashiach was done. Ah, but he's paid money. What about a mishapara when you do a purchase? So he says, no. Since the payment wasn't a classic payment for a purchase, it was a payment for a supplier arrangement, meaning you're going to supply me this product down the track. And during that period, Nishtana Shara, the price seemed to go crashed, if you like. Stam dated in Ish Atar, the Zola Pasik. The assumption is that he was going to be supplied the best possible arrangement. And therefore, it's not even an issue of Mishapara. Because a Mishapara is, I'm paying for a product, I'm expected to get it now. Okay? Meaning, and if the person doesn't supply it after I paid the money, and mishapara, there's a curse for Chachamim for going back on the deal. However, this is a different arrangement altogether. I'm not paying to get a product now. It's a supply arrangement. I'm giving you money now, and I expect to be supplied over the time. And the assumption is, in this arrangement, that if it goes down in value, that's according to Rabbi Huda, it's assumed, whereas according to Chachamim, it's not assumed. Only if it was stipulated Can he break out of the, could he break out of it or force a position? Okay. The Gemara says, which it is as follows. An aris is a sharecropper. A sharecropper is someone who works your field for and is going to supply a percentage of the yield. So what's interesting here is the what you can do is you can lend, say, a certain volume of wheat, and the sharecropper will provide you on top of the share he's meant to give you that volume back. The problem is you might think, under normal circumstances, you cannot do that. I can't lend you a kilogram of wheat and you're going to give me a kilogram of wheat later on because it's called seah beseah. The concern is the value of wheat goes up and you're providing me back a larger, something greater value back. That's like avak ribbit, as we explained, classic of a ribbit. So the question is, why would an aris with a sharecropper, he's effectively doing that. He's providing him, if you like, an extra kilogram of wheat and he's getting an extra kilogram of wheat over and above. In other words, that seems to be the loan for the grain it is going to plant, and is over and above the or aside from, I should say, the regular aris arrangement. So the Barfold explains as follows: chitin, in other words, you can chitin be chitin lazera, se'ah la'se'ah, v'haytamud mutar. It's mutar why? Da'al aris mutar liten lazera, because the aris, the understanding of a sharecropper has to provide the grain to plant. It's not the responsibility of the field owner. The cause much of tanzera. If the aris doesn't plant or doesn't have the grain to plant, then the owner can say, get out of my field. Matimisalik le la aris min ha-sadeh, despite the fact they've signed contracts. If he doesn't have anything to plant, he's not going to plant. He say, litra od, goodbye. But kevin the matimisalik le, since it's the right of the landowner to kick him out, mutalit. Since, in other words, when the person, the landowner, gives him wheat, despite the fact it goes on value, you can return it. Why should ain't zeh halva? Because that's not even that in this context not considered a loan at all. Ela lebatzir mahacha nachit ha'aris la'sadeh. Varu ki yored le'toch me'achshav al noshir tol abayit ha'zera tchila mechelek ha'magia la'aris v'lasi yitol ha'shak b'schar tarcho. Since effectively, it's not like he's already gone on the land. It's closed deal. Now I'm lending you wheat for wheat. No, without the wheat, it's you can kick him out. So therefore, when he's giving the wheat, it's like the whole business arrangement is starting anew. And therefore, it's just the con sounds, now it's a condition of the business arrangement of being on my land that you're gonna part of the arisut is a percentage plus a fixed amount. And that's the condition of the arisut. It's not considered a loan for chitin b'chitin. Okay? That's the way he explains it. In other words, it seems to be that, oh, I'm making a business arrangement with you. You've been my aris for 30% minus a kilo, whatever it is. Okay? However, what's interesting here is that Shaya Rabban Gamliel, Malve arisav chitin biyoker v'huzlo or bazol b'hukro notel kashar azol. In other words, Rabban Gamliel was machmer on himself in this situation. If he gave his aris some wheat to plant, to plant, that if it went up in value, he would request the value of the wheat he gave back, so less wheat, so it wouldn't be an issue of going up. And if it went down in value, he would request the same volume as he gave him, so he's always feel like losing out. And that was just to be overly machmir, as the Gemara, as Mishnah says, ella, in other words, lo halacha ken, it wasn't halacha, because as we explained in the case of arisut specifically, that when he's giving in this wheat, it can be part of the arisut real contract, not considered a loan. Ella sheratza lachmir, he just wants to be machmir. That's we see that Tanakh HaChamim do that. The halakha is not like that, but he's a water mimacher. Okay, done a lot of a mishnah. Let's look at the Gemara. Ein poskin al peirot. Gemara says ma'al lifsok b'shar shel sirki. Now the sirki. Now we've said before that if you want to do this iska, if you like, or this arrangement with a supplier, this is what the iskas we discussed previously. It's not really iska. We're talking about here. We do an arrangement, a supplier arrangement. So I'm paying you now, and you're going to supply me wheat at this rate, even if the wheat goes up in value. Okay, and not considered, and when's it not considered avak ribbit? That's when yatzah hashar is one of the conditions. So the question is, what happens though if not really yatzah hashar, the price hasn't come out yet? However, yatzah the sirki is socharim ishmaelim. These are like a traveling salesman, if you like. And the problem is that that's the shar for now, and they're going to move on. It's not really; it's like a temporary shar. It's not a shar that's nimshach. And eventually what happens, the shah will come up, it's a shah that's the price, the ongoing price for the season, let's call it, the seasonal price. But these guys are coming through, it's the price for temporary. So the Gemara now says, Mal Lusok Bashar Sirki. Rabbi Yochanan says, Poskin, you can posek based on the Sirki price, because again, presumably if the supply could come and buy it from them. However, Rish Lakish says, Ein Poskin. You cannot. That's a machloket. Rabum Barachi Abai Kamei Rav Zira. Lo Mistavra Diyod Rabbi Yochanan Rachim Bashar Sirki Shil Tziporin. It makes sense that that Rav Shakish would read Rabbi Yochanan, and the Sirki shall see Purim she'eno posek, because that shah, once the Sirkin come through, those prices stick. And it's an enduring price, and therefore it's not really the subject of the debate. Okay. Now the next case is interesting. Amar Abun Bar Kahana. V'tmiya ana eich rabbanan pligi bein posek l'peirot, bein posek l'ma'ot, bein l'malvi l'peirot. So to appreciate this, there are three interesting cases that are permutations of what we basically learned. So let me show you the Marafulda. It says, Eich Rabbanan Pligi. So Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Pligi. So he ties this to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish of whether you need a stable shahr, let's call that, in order to justify this business arrangement, or you can even depend on these sirki that are passing through, this temporary shahr that's yotzer. But there are three different cases. It says, Sirki, lo mechalki, he says, so he says, I'm surprised if they weren't defined. It says, v'lo mechalki bein, there's no difference between bein posek lo peirot. Posek means, I'm paying you now and you're going to give me this product in 6 months' time. Okay? V'imanicha, that's the case we've been just talking about. Mishiatzah shar, because as long as the price has come out, poskin, you can do it. Upligi, biatzah shar, sirki, and the machlok we saw is whether yatzah comes to sirki or not. This temporary one. Or pligi nami, there's another debate. But posek lema'ot shuposek al peiro kedei lekabel damim. What if you did this? What if you paid someone? This, I'm sure there are like a financial in like stock sort of options or something like this. It maybe would be a simple type of thing, similar type of thing, I think. But I don't know financial markets well enough. But it sounds like it. Where you pay someone for wheat, and the agreement was is you're going to pay me back the value of that wheat in 6 months' time, not the product itself. So in that situation, we say there's no difference. Provided that Shiyashlo or Yatzah Shar, it's okay. What difference is if he's providing the weight or the value of the weight? So that's also an interesting financial arrangement you can do, provided that the conditions that allow such a supply arrangement are met. Again, Yatzah Shar, or he hasn't. Fine. Next, Upligi, there's another case as well. B'malvela peirot. This is where you're lending someone produce. V'meimer Rebbe Elazar b'Bavli lavin al shar shabashuk. Meaning you're lending or b'chol inyan pligi Rebbe Yochanan Reish Lakish. Where it wasn't that you're buying it from him, you're borrowing based on the product, the wheat and the shuk. Okay, so you're borrowing and they're going to be paying back. And again, it can increase in value. And again, that doesn't seem to be okay unless all these conditions are met. So once again, it seems to be this is machloker Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether a temporary shahr is enough to justify to allow these business arrangements. Again, one is I'm buying wheat from you for the price now, and you're going to deliver it later. Another one is I'm buying wheat from you, and you're going to give me the value of that wheat later. And the third one is some sort of loan arrangement that's based on the value of the wheat. Okay. And the assumption is, according to the Marafolda, that al pisuk peirot sarich shim shoch tareu zman ruba tvei mahani. That if it's a, it seems to be that when it comes to pisuk peirot, meaning I want to have the produce, it seems to be that should be last, that shahr should endure. Or mahay taima ika demokil ma'ni diba chiti da kalbi va'arve, that relates to the Bavli. V'chem pisuk lamal tzarich gamken meshichat shahr as well, shem mekablim hashta al manat lifro ala charazman. So the understanding is he understands the first two cases. Well, the article quotes the Rav Chaim's Haggah, we'll get to that in a minute, that actually switches it. But he understands the first two cases are cases where you think there's more of a reason for the shahr to continue. Aval, in the case of the loan, I'll just jump down to the bottom. Lo tzarich mishbarat hashahr ken. You don't need it to, there might be more of a reason for him to agree that you don't need the mishichat shahr because in the case of a loan, arachiti bahani, sorry, chiti behini, chiti beshili, you can get this wheat wherever he likes. Di baizvini lechiti mikare. You could have bought the wheat from all different places, which is interesting. In other words, the assumption of this sugya is, as it continues, he says, I don't understand why the debate between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, again, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is, do I need a concrete shahr or even a floating shahr, like a temporary shahr? A temporary price is enough to justify these arrangements. And it seems to be, he says, I don't understand how to come mahamoch across the board. Let me just continue the words. It says, "Temani eich palik raban bein posek lepeir, bein posek lemal, bein posek lemal lepeir," which is the cases. Amri ochin b'malve it palgun. The machlok is owned by malve, aval b'pisuk when it comes to be called amad asur. However, Rabbi Yossi says b'sip pisuk ayu palgun aval malve kolam modim mutar. In other words, the way we've explained to call marafulda that the case of a malve is more of a reason to be matir based on a temporary shahr. Okay, why exactly? I'm not 100% sure. But therefore, he says that the machloket, the first way about Rabbi Yirmiyahu is the machloket only by the pisuk, sorry, by the malve, but it's a pisuk. Everyone agrees it has to be concrete shahr because it's more reason to make it asur. Whereas Yossi says the other way around. By the malve case, everyone agrees it's mutar, but the machloket is regarding a classic case like we've been discussing now. And what's interesting here, I saw an article that quotes the Hagot Reb Chaim Kanevsky, which I again haven't got a chance to get my hands on, which I do want to. He explains it slightly differently. He says, no, when it looks like a malva, it's a context of malva, it's more of a reason to be asur. When it's malva, the payer based on the shahr of the thing. So therefore, in that case, we'd be more machmir. So therefore, the girsa changes. In other words, Rabbi Yirmiyahu says, the malva, it palgun, aval the pisuk, everyone agrees that it is mutar. And Rabbi Yossi says, besif pisuk aval the malva kol musha asur. Right, that's how you have to switch it around. But again, and that might, you might be able to understand Reb Chaim's easier because it resembles more of a loan, so more machmir by the loan, so you need a more concrete shahr to endure the entire time. Okay, let's continue. The Rei Riana Amay Haposkin Al Hashachat. Now, shachat is really animal food, so that's when the produce has not yet developed the shlish. On the assumption, in other words, already at the very, very early stages, that would be enough, despite the fact that you want to purchase good wheat. Similarly, Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina says, Omer al chalot vash, simply also on chalot vash, meaning just the honeycomb for the honey that's not yet fully filled in it because it's going to come and fill. Again, that's enough. In other words, that's considered like yeshlo. Again, the second justification if he has. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, kol erod asmuchot l'teveria, kimin tisa ashal teveria poskim. When it comes to cities around Teveria, they would be able to yudol to posik in those surrounds as long as the shahr came out in Teveria itself. So in other words, it doesn't have to be mamash the yatzar shahr, the completely close, but the surrounds of a place once the yatzar shahr, that could impact them as well. It's funny because the sugi keeps on jumping between the two different justifications. If you notice that, either yatzar shahr or yeshlo, keep on going back and forwards. Okay, but now let's go back to the case of yeshlo because it says as follows: Hayat chilat lekotzrim. Let's say it was in the beginning of this. We said at the kotzrim, and all he has is a pile of wheat. We can still posing ala gidish. Rav Amar. So what Ravi is saying, the whole justification of Yeshlo is only okay if it's lacking one maase. But if there's lots of processes to do, that's not considered Yeshlo. He says it's not considered Yeshlo, and therefore you wouldn't be able to make this business arrangement. Yochanan says, Verdachi says, no, treim amra afilu mechusa kama maase. If it's got lots of maasim to do, then it's okay. So the Gemara says, v'hamendit ha-palig arav. Because again, the case of Tkila Kotzrin, you've got to do a lot of things. You've got a pile of wheat, you've got to thresh it, you've got to sift it, you've got to do all these things, you've got to grind it. There's lots of borer, all the malachas for Shabbos, and all the ones, all the wheat related matters you have to do. That looks like there's a lot of maasim. And the Mishnah still says, as long as he's got a stack of wheat, it seems to be that's okay to read to posek. The supply, you can posek with the supply that would make this arrangement. That seems a kasha. Now you've got a v'chulei here, which I find fascinating because the Mar Fulda says, the Bavli mal he kol ababot. The Bavli brings all the cases in this Mishnah as kashas on Rav. Umaksha al milfa the Rav, because all of them seem to be very early stages that require many processes, and nonetheless, we still say poskinah. However, the mashma filo chasro yoter mishar, umashni levo. But lechen kitzer kan, look at the beautiful this is. That's why in here, the who are the ma'atik, where the person put the Yerushalmi, was mekatzer, those who were actually writing out the bubbly for production, they were the chule is relying on the bubbly, if you like, which is interesting because bubbly came later. But the person, you know, when they wrote it down, the printers, if you like, they relied on the bubbly, says v'chule, because we know what the whole machlok, the proofs, the kasha and rab, it's from every line in the Mishnah and not just one, which I find interesting. Take you said. Anyway, let's continue. Abba barzmina yaiv chadina la kafila. Now, kapila is different. Explaining what a kapila is, but here the Amar Fulda says it's a mocher nechanot. So what he did, he gave a dina la kapila v'nasab minei b'shat zelila to call shata v'lo mode rav. So just to explain, let's understand the Amar Fulda. He says, "Hu shem chanut ben, the kapila is ben is willing wine or other tafshilin. That's what Rosh says. So pirusho shenatan lekapila dinah. The person gave a shopkeeper a coin, but lakach mimenu yain kol shana b'shat hazol. And the intention of doing that is I want the cheap price the whole year. But that's a shag of all the Mishnah. Ela v'kein shel patsokim kashar gvoah. The problem was when he made this arrangement, it was already expensive at that time. Right? It wasn't cheap then. So that's a problem. How's that possible? Because what's happening? You're effectively making arrangements for someone who has wine at an expensive price, and you want it to be yet a larger supply at the end. That's like a loan, no? That's a classic case of a loan. Because the price that it's selling for now is expensive. And you get a guarantee, so that's why it should be asked. That's why Ma'afud explains the sugya. What's interesting here, the Askra does differently. The Askra explains it here that it's referring to the kashas. It's still part of the previous sugya, that there's still a lot of processes to go. But we'll continue with the Ma'afudah. It says, Rav Chiya Ruba Havale, it brings a problem. Havale Kite, Kinin is Kutna. Atu Chamarehu, there were the donkey drivers, and they wanted to buy it from Mizma Mine. Amarlo, they said to, I said to them, "Late bedati kedun. I don't want to sell it now. I want to sell it Purim time. Why? It'll be Puraya, because in Purim time, I'm going to get a lot more profit. I'm willing to store it for the next few months and make a lot more money." Amrulay zavnalan, sell to us now kedun mata atati the mizmer. Sell to us now for the more expensive price. So atashal Rebbe Amarle luhu, it's aso. He says no good. So let me just again read it in the mouthful. It says Rav Amar. The Rav Chiya Rabba Habalei Pishnei has this flax. The Chamarim came, they're like going from place to place. They're traders. From cheap places to expensive places. But Amalu, they said, he said to him, I don't want to sell it now when it's cheap. I want to sell it in Purim. But Amrulay, Anu, we'll pay you the money you would get in Purim. Kamosha Yashar. But Asalei, why? What's wrong in this case? The problem was that this, the problem now is, they didn't have any money, and they're going to have to pay it at a later price. Ah, so now you're getting something a loan. It has like a loan, even though it might look like an iska. They didn't have the pro. It's like a loan, but they didn't have the money. So therefore, they're going to be paying the money at a greater rate, at a higher value than the product they're buying it off now. Now, had they had the money, fine, you just sold it at a greater rate, fantastic. But they didn't have the money because they didn't have the money. That we're saying is that they're going to be paying back money at a higher value than the product they took. So it's a similar problem. That's why it aligns with the previous case. So let's look at the next case. Here. Nafik, so Atashal Rebasa. So Nafik Kavabamatniti says Vertaniken. So he went to bite like this. Let's say someone's chayv money. Ubali tomi meno peirot begoren. Amalo asa amalai kishar b'shuk v'ani ale lecha kol 12 chodesh. Asur delo ki isar habali ado. So in other words, what's the problem here? This is another situation where he has no money, and it's a debt. And what he's saying is, you know, I'll just read it inside. He says, he made a kava matnita. Says haya chayv lo maot ubali tomi maot b'shar goren. Kedei likno ben tua. What happens is someone owed someone else, like someone who was owed money, and he wanted to pick the money so he could buy tefuah now, produce now while it was cheap. Amaloi says, listen to me. I don't have the money to pay back, but I'll supply you wheat at this cheap rate over the year. Asim chitim shatar rotze liknopem. Keshara shuk, which is now. Vani lechara probably over the year. Koshen basachosh over the year. She'im need to grow, even to go something value. Don't worry, I'm going to give you the sharazo. The Marafulda says, this is asur. This is not like having money it's given to his hand that we said, oh, you can make a business arrangement because you can go buy it. She'eno ten lo b'sha'a p'sika shum ma'ot, because when they're doing this p'sika, this business arrangement, didn't give him any money. This is just based on a debt. Ve'eno domeh la'minitin etam poskin el hashar. It's not like the normal case where saying, oh, I'm going to pay you now and you're going to, at this cheap rate, you're going to supply me over the year. Because even if it goes up in value, afilin kera achakach no ten lo k'sha'a, you can do that. The money's in his hand. The Kanai can buy chitim b'kshirim halalu. And if it goes up in value, he said, oh, don't worry, it's considered as if it was already the property of the Rishut HaLokeach. Ma she'ein ken, now it doesn't work in the case of this debt, but he didn't give him any money. B'shata p'sika. Ein ze ele b'shvil shlo yama ot no ten lo paro b'zol et ha'ashe b'shata yoker. In this situation, when his own money, and the guy says, don't worry, I'll supply you over the year, the psiki is doing, there was no money there. So therefore, if it goes up in value, it's mamash considered like this abak ribbit, that he's going to give him back more in value than he is owing him at the time in the beginning. Again, the only justification to do such a business arrangement, this psika, this business arrangement, is if he gave him the money in the beginning to supply it. Because again, since he could have already bought it at that point in time, it's considered as if the wheat that was meant to be supplied is already the property of Mekabel, this other party. And if it went up in value, it was his own wheat that went up in value. It's not considered avak ribbit. Again, we justify others in the Meshicha, it doesn't matter. It's okay, the cause of avak ribbit. Fine. But in this situation, it was just a debt, and he says, okay, don't worry, you want wheat, I'll provide you wheat. There was no money handed over. So this debt endures, and since he owed it, it's like a chitin b'chitin issue. Because he said, oh, you want 10 kilos of wheat? Fine. Well, I'll provide you 10 kilos, and because the 10 kilos are equal to the amount of money I owe you. But that 10 kilos of wheat can go up in value. And in this situation, it's not considered really the property of the so-called creditor in this situation. Because no money was handed over. So therefore, what he'll be returning, this 10 kilo of wheat that goes up in value, would be avak ribbit. That would be the problem. Okay, beseder. Have a good day, everyone.